Blog Talk Radio.
All right, I feel good today. Tell them how you feel, Gerald.
Just like fire, dear papa.
Come on and get up. Let's praise. Come on, Holy Ghost.
Just like fire,
dear papa. Talking about the Holy Ghost fire.
Time, beloved, to let our minds, bodies, and souls be renewed and refreshed in our relationship with our great, wonderful, and magnificent God, our Father, and oh yes, His precious and beautiful Son, our Prince of Peace, our wonderful Messiah and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Christ is unashamedly and unapologetically as well as unequivocally declared to be the only Redeemer, the only acceptable Lamb of God. He is the only chosen one, beloved, with the keys of life, death, hell, the grave, and to our beautiful eternal life. He's our only hope and light for this lost, dark, and dying world that we're living in. And can anyone deny the sad state of affairs that are going on in our world right now? The Bible has already predicted many centuries ago that in the end of times there will be wars and rumors of war. There'll be diverse earthly conditions that have never happened in certain regions of the world and in our country. So we look to the Word of God as our resolution, as our sense of peace, spoken to us by God Himself through His Holy Bible. I'm your purpose and power-driven host, Ron E. Jefferson. And I'm here to bring you the most uplifting spiritual soul inspirations as well as some of the most anointed gospel music that has ever been made and ever been played. Fire, the gospel experience, will light ignite and fan those flames that's in your spirit, man, woman, boy, or girl, so that you can be that victim. yes, believer in Jesus Christ. But you got to be in Jesus Christ. You can't be hanging out on the outside talking about, I think I might make it in. It don't work like that. You got to come on in by faith and believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that God had raised him from the dead. And I promise you, he has a place in his heaven just for you. So listen, we will be embracing for our spiritual uplift from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5, verses 15 through 19, where we read of the dilemma of the Assyrian army commander Naaman, who has contracted the deadly disease of leprosy. Having now found the potential remedy given by the prophet Elisha, he finds that what he's asked to do is not appropriate and goes into a furious rage. Now, how many times have we also not accepted what God recommends and we too go into our own version of rage? So we're going to be talking about furious rage and what the consequences will be when we don't follow through on God's purpose, God's plan, and God's lessons for us as we learn. My special guest is here. He is a man of God. He is a preacher, teacher, and pastor right here where I'm broadcasting from, Pine Bluff, Arkansas. Pastor Mark Stevens is here. We're going to hear his testimony. We're going to hear his words of encouragement, his wisdom, and he's going to share with us things that are going to bless us and give us the encouragement that we need to just keep on keeping on. So listen, we are going to do what we always do. We're going to give God his just due praise. We're going to uplift his name. We're going to encourage one another in our spirit on this fire gospel experience. Call a neighbor. Call a family member. Call a friend. Call somebody that's in your spirit right now that you know could use some good godly inspiration, as well as we get our gospel praise on in celebration to this wonderful God. Holy Spirit, God, have your way. And thank you for lighting the fuse that's going to set the internet and the radio airwaves on Holy Ghost sanctified fire. Fire, 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 fire.
Hallelujah. We really did come to lift Jesus up. How many of you know he's still the light? He is still the light. Come on.
He's still the light. The light of the world. Yeah. He's still the light. The light. The light of the world.
There are many religions. So many believe. Prophecy.
tells us that Jesus is still the light. He is still the light. Ain't nothing changed. The Bible declares the God that we serve said, I change not. That means he is just as bright today in the lives, in the hearts of men as he was from the very, very beginning. Sometimes you got to let them choirs like man of God, Patrick Lundy, minister of music, he's still the light. Sometimes you just got to let that choir just go ahead and get their praise on. I know y'all thought that they was through when the music ended, but listen, sometimes we just got to let that choir get their praise on too. Yes, they singing praises unto the Lord, but then when that spirit of praise hit them, let's just go on and celebrate our God right along with these praise. So it just hit me. I think I'm just going to roll out these phenomenal and anointed choirs that's going to hit the stage and the platform of this fire gospel experience. So y'all just hold on what you got. We're going to turn loose these anointed choirs on your spirit and have another wonderful, good gospel celebration. My special guest is here, wonderful, awesome, committed young man of God. He is preaching. He is teaching. He is living the sanctified life that we are called to live. Talking about each one of us believers. Amen. We need to be looking at each other and then seeing the Jesus in each one of us day by day. We should be drawn closer to that image that we know to be God Almighty. Talking about Jesus Christ. So my dear friend, my brother in Christ, my mentor, someone that I can call upon whenever I need some spiritual help, right here from Pine Bluff, Arkansas, minister, pastor, man of God, Mark Stevens is here on this fire gospel experience. Hallelujah. Hey. Welcome, welcome, man of God, Pastor Mark Stevens. Welcome to Fire the Gospel Experience. How you doing, sir?
Man, it's good. It's good to be here. Listen to that music. I want to go ahead and add on that he was a lily of the valley and the rose of Sharon, the lion of the tribe of Judah. Yeah, they were on that. He is a will in the will, and he is the balm in Gilead.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
See, they don't understand. I told you before we went live, I said hit the ground running. Just come on with it. Whatever anointed words of inspiration God has given you, we want to hear it. So what I want you to do, my dear friend, Pastor Mark Stevens, why don't you share a little bit about who you are so the listeners can appreciate your walk with Christ, what it has become now from the very humble beginnings when you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior.
Amen. Radio Land, I'm Pastor Mark Stevens. I'm the pastor of the Union Chapel Baptist Church in McGee, Arkansas, by the way of Pine Bluff. This evening, God has truly been good to me. I was one of those children that was raised in a church, or rather raised in a home that everybody didn't go to church, but yet God seemed fit to send a church bus by to pick me up. Even at the age of 5 years old, I gave my life to Christ in 1969, and I began to go to church and to lift up Jesus, and then it happened one Sunday. I began to praise God, and the Holy Spirit fell and filled me with the Holy Ghost and fire.
Yes.
And when that happened, life changed, and it became a different experience. And don't get me wrong, truly, there were some ups and downs, some ins and outs, highs and lows, and some valley views. But yet, God was still able to keep his love and hand and protection upon me. Even when I didn't do right, God was still with me. And now I wonder, you're saying to yourself, how is God with you when you don't do right? Well, can I tell you, if he's only with you when you're wrong, he's not with you very often, but he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And so I realized that, and then when God began to deal with me, he touched me with his finger of love, and just quickly I'll share with you before we go into a word that God has put in my spirit. What we have to realize is God doesn't make no mistakes. As Brother Ron, as you were saying, you were talking about, and God changes not. Malachi said that, but the thing is, communication changes, conversations change, children change, but God never changes. And so what happens with that is God lets us know our walk has to be different. We can't walk the same way we used to walk. We can't talk same way we used to talk. We have to walk with God. And so when God called me into ministry, I questioned him. I began to say, Lord, are you sure? So I would begin to ask to do things to me. I pulled some stuff out, and I said, Lord, stricken my body. If you call me to do this, and he stricken me. Hives began to break out all over my body, and then I'd pray, and the Lord would remove them. And then I began, and then our children came, and then I want another child. And at this time, we had went to the doctor. Doctor said that you were sterile at this time. And I told my wife, I said, well, if I can't have no more children, I said, if God wants me to preach the gospel, I said, he'll bless us with another child.
Come on.
And about 3 weeks later, my wife, she came in the room and she said, I'm pregnant. I said, I've been pregnant.
Yeah.
And she looked at me and honestly, brother, she said, why would you pray over my body? I said, well, I just had to make sure this election was sure and God had called me. And can I tell y'all from that time that when God, I knew my election was sure, but then God did what I asked. But then a few months later, God began to wake me in the fourth watch. He began to wake me between 3 and 6 o'clock. Every morning he'd wake me. He said, I've done what you asked. I do what I said. And I told my wife, I said, the Lord has called me to preach. And I accepted my calling in December, the first Sunday in December. Matter of fact, when I told the preacher that God had called me, I preached that following Sunday. And I'll never look back. I've been in ministry for 20 years this December, and I've already been pastoring over 17 years. I am a Caucasian. I'm Italian descent. But I pastor in the state of here in Arkansas, McGee, but in my second church for God to give me as an assignment. But I pastor an all-African-American church. But yet you say, you pastor an all-black church. No, I pastor God's people. That's what God has called me to be. And I've dealt with racism. I've dealt with negativity from the other side of the track. Matter of fact, one man approached me. He said, you got to decide where you're going to preach. You going to preach on this side or that side? I said, what's that mean? He said, well, he said, you can preach in the black congregation. He said, they'll receive you. He said, but if you preach to us, he said, the white people won't receive you. And I said, man, you crazy. But believe it or not, but 20 years later, he told the truth. Because they won't know, where did I get my degree? What school did I go to? Who was the theologians I sat under? I told them, Jesus Christ is my teacher. He's my guide. Yeah, he's my comforter. Yeah. He's my rabbi. And so when God deals with you, God equips you. I don't have to have, I've got a degree, but I don't have to have a degree as long as God's got his finger on you. God can give you so much wisdom and knowledge that people will wonder, where in the world did you get your schooling? And I tell them from the B-I-B-L-E. But
let me tell you something,
brother Ron,
man of God.
Yeah, man.
Let me jump in there real quick, man of God, because I hear exactly what you're saying, and I posted something on Facebook because I get these inspirations in the middle of the night throughout the day, and I know it's for me to share, it's for me to receive as well personally, but it's also for me to pass on so that people can hear God speaking through us, through God's people. I posted on Facebook, I said that when Jesus came, he didn't go to the temple with those that had degrees and had higher educational learning in their background. He passed by them, and he went to men that were not educated in the schools of theology and primary learning for biblical understanding. And I said, that's no shade, because I have no problem. It seems like the trend now is that a lot of preachers want doctor's degrees. You know that's the truth. A lot of preachers are. And that's good. That's fine. But when someone has God's anointing on their life, that is more than just valid enough resource, knowledge, and qualification to stand in God's appointed place in the body of Christ, be it preaching, be it teaching, be it whatever a person is called to do. When God puts his anointing on a man, on a woman, whoever, they are more than well qualified. And that is no slight for people that are seeking doctor's degree, because all that's going to do is to enhance what they may acquire. But if they don't have God's anointing on them, they have education. Yes, that's true. But they don't have the walking spirit of God that leads them through the scriptures, that gives them a personal revelation, not a private revelation, but a revelation that will give them more than what is required to feed the people of God. Amen?
Yes, amen. Amen.
Amen.
And see, what we have to realize is you can – go ahead.
Go ahead. Mm-mm, no, sir, go ahead.
No, no, I was just going to add to what you said. When the men of God or women of God, when they get their education, the schooling from the scholastics of academia, I praise them. One thing we should do is lift each other up. But if you got that oil on, if you got that oil on you, when you have that Noah spirit, God's anointing, which is only the anointing that breaks the yoke, it's that anointing that God will reveal some things to you. And what takes place is God gives you wisdom and knowledge and understanding. You can have a room full of books. You can have a room full of books, brother, and have all the knowledge in the world. But if you don't have no wisdom and understanding, you don't have nothing. So I tell people that God is the one that gives us the insight, and he reveals things to us. And
that's
why God, what he writes in his scriptures, and he lets us know some things. And go and ask me what you were going to ask me before I the scripture that God has laid on my heart.
No, what I was going to say is that we have to understand, too, that a lot of seminaries and these universities, they may be teaching something that is more universal in terms of religion. So there has to be some spiritual discernment, even for the men and women that are pursuing higher education, because all of those seminary teachers, they may not be of Christian faith. They may just be teaching religion from a academic standpoint and not from a spiritually enlightened mind by being transformed by the mind of Christ himself.
Right. That's right. That's right. Many of them could be agnostics. They don't even believe in Christ, but yet they have a job. They got an education. They're going to teach what it says, but yet they don't believe in what they're teaching.
Amen.
And I'm like this,
Amen.
You can't have that fire. You can't have that burning if you don't believe what you're reading.
Woo, Lord.
And go ahead.
It's just my concern, Pastor Mark. I want you to just feel free to flow freely.
Okay.
If we get too caught up in titles, that can be a distraction, because now what we're looking at is we are looking for people to give us this acknowledgement for what we have achieved, as opposed to God having anointed us to call. If we just start pursuing titles, I think that is in danger of us maybe being diverted and wanting to be lifted up, wanting to be put on plateaus. And I say that, you know, we have to be cautious. I don't care what your position is in the body of Christ. We all have to have a humble mind as we pursue whatever God has called us to.
Well, what happens is the pulpit has become a platform.
Yes, sir. Come
on. Then what's taking place is, and don't get me wrong, you can be called Reverend, Doctor, Bishop.
Yes, sir.
Whatever you want to be called. But the end of the day, I've got a hat that I wear. It has Pastor Mark Stevens on the back of it, but the front of the hat says servant.
Yes,
sir. I'm nothing but a servant, because I tell people all the time, they'll say, Dr. Stevens. I'm like, no, I ain't no doctor. I'm a servant. I said, you can go to hell with a tie.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And the reality is we need to remember where we come from, because if you remember that you need a humble ending with a humble beginning. Now, he does tell us in the beginning was small, but the latter, and see, the key to this was the word should. He said the latter should greatly increase. Mm-hmm. Well, how's it going to increase? Well, it's got to start in the beginning. You can't have a great ending if you don't have a beginning. And that's what I try to tell them. Even though my walk with God is sincere, and then they try to judge you by your congregation, and I hear more lies told from the pulpit in a circle. Mm-hmm. How many members do you have? 300, 400? I tell them real quick, I started out with about 90 12 years ago, and And I done buried almost 20 of them now, and then the other half done moved away. So now, since the COVID hit, if I preach at 25 or 30 on Sunday morning, I'm fine, because that's what God has put back in the house, because the scripture tells
Amen.
Us about a remnant. And only a remnant is going to come back. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that few there be that enter in. So if he said few to me ain't but a few. If I ain't got but a few dollars in my pocket, I ain't got but a couple. So that lets me know that not everybody who thinks they're going to make it in going to make it in. And then people used to say that, if I can just make it in, no, baby, there's some crowns waiting on me. I said, but if you ain't never led nobody to Christ, there's some crowns you ain't never going to get. You got to tell people about salvation, and salvation ain't in the four walls of the church. He told them to go to Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. But the thing is, if you don't go to Samaria, if you don't go around your hometown, how in the world do you think you're going to go to the outer parts and tell people? And sometimes all you got to look is inside your house, because sometimes you got folk in your own house that ain't saved. And then that bothers me, because if you saved and you're going to church, if you live it right, it ought to kind of just rub off sometime. It's kind of like residue. Residue will leave some stuff behind. And and so that's what God is telling us. We ought to be able to carry some residue. We ought to have some on us that when we walk by somebody, that they feel the power and the presence of God. And matter of fact, that happened to me one time, Brother Ron. Let me tell you real quick. I was in the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been mowing the yard. I was dirty, clippings all over me. I was just nasty. And I went to the store, and I walked by this lady. And when I walked by, it almost like she just took a step back and looked at me. I'm like, man, do I smell? Is it that bad? And
Lord Jesus.
I just looked at her and smiled, how you doing? And I went on and got paid for it. When I got outside, she was standing outside waiting on me. And when I got outside, she looked at me, and I looked at her. I said, can I help you? I said, do you know me? She said, no, but she said, I know you're a preacher. I said, how you know I'm a preacher? She said, because I felt it. She said, I felt it when you walked by. I said, Lord, have mercy. Because, see, that lets you know it ain't the man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. But God will let the power of his anointing can be so powerful that people can feel it when they walk by.
Mm-hmm.
And
amen.
So,
amen.
Yeah. So I just praise God for this walk. It's been a lonely walk. It's been a long walk, but I wouldn't take nothing from my journey, because he's with me, and you learn on this walk who you can trust and who you can't trust. And I've done figured this out.
Absolutely.
That the best person for me to trust is the Lord and my wife and a few there be in my inner circle, because even with Jesus, he had 12, but he had 3 in the inner circle, and then they denied him. So I tell people all the time, they say, who's in your circle? I say, well, if you don't ever see me take my shoes off, it lets you know you ain't in my circle, because everybody don't need to see the color of your socks.
No, they sure don't. Amen. Well,
no.
That's so true.
No, some people didn't get that, but they'll get it on the way home.
They'll get it after a while. That the Lord, talking about numbers and talking about people attendance in your church, and we know that the virus has had a very adverse effect on church attendance. God is not moved by that. God is still doing what God does through his anointed people. And like you said, Jesus picked 12 people, and one of them was a devil, working for the devil. And with those few, turned the world upside down. The scribes and the Pharisees said that this man and his disciples are turning the whole world around. So it's not about numbers. It's about whoever is faithful to God has their understanding of purpose. When they have their understanding of purpose, Pastor Mark, then they will receive full power from God to be able to do things that we would never be able to naturally do on our own. One of the things that caught my attention when I invited you to this platform, and I want my listeners to know, I have been chasing this young man down for a few years, and I was finally able to corner him. And just I finally realized that you really felt the sincerity of this broadcast that God has blessed me with. And we had a discussion. We said, why is it that people that seem like they have never met us face to face can be a Facebook friend, a internet friend, a social media friend that we've never met, that has more honor and respect for us than the people that are right near us, right close to us, And then we had this discussion, Pastor. We said, you know what? They even did our Lord Jesus like that. Can you share with us some of the experiences that you overcame? I know you kind of touched on it, but explain to us and help us understand, why is it that people that are close to us, that should know us better, respect us more, and uplift and support us more than the people that never meet us? Why is that so? Do you have any thoughts about that?
Well, I believe that envy and jealousy runs in the hearts of family, friends, and foes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If a person doesn't really have the love of God in their heart, okay, and they always want to go back and remember what you used to.
Yeah.
See, people
want
to hold on to the past, and that's the reason why they can never go forward to the present. They always want to talk about things. That's why when Jesus said even he was without honor in his own country, because they remembered him as the carpenter's son. They didn't
see him
as the divine. They didn't see him as the divine. They didn't see him as a healer and a miracle worker and for who he was. But yet people always want to go back and recant what we used to do, how we were this way and that way. You might have been an alcoholic, or you did drugs, or you might have been a whoremonger. You know, some kind of sin, but sin is S-I-N. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. God tells us, you know, we all going to sin. We have sin. We're going to sin some more.
Yeah.
You know, when you were born in sin and,
shaped
in iniquity, that means you were born bent. You were born bent.
Yeah.
You were born to be sin in the sinful nature. But people, Brother Ron, they do not want to see you prosper. A lot of people in your own families, I've come across that. In my family, they just, I wouldn't say disown, but just because of the pigmentation of my white skin, they have shunned me and slighted me. And one thing about me, I'm transparent. I'm real about it. But if you mess with mine and my children, it's totally different. And when I get through, I may whoop you, I may cuss you out, and then they're going to say, you a preacher. I said, I'll still be a preacher when I get through with you.
Yes, sir.
Because, but the thing is, I'm working on that, because when you were talking about the rage and the anger, because God tells us that in his word, because when people make you mad, you got to have the word of God in you. It ain't going to come in the classroom. It's going to come from the word of God. He tells us in 15 number Proverbs, and one, he said, a soft answer turns away wrath. But
yes,
a harsh
sir.
Word, he says, stirs up anger. And then he goes and tells us, be not quick in your spirit to become angry, for angry lodges in the heart of a fool. So
and
we
it
have
so
to
takes
know
practice.
That. Oh, yeah, because you can get mad real quick. You can get mad, but even Jesus got mad. He got angry. But the scripture even tells us, when we look over in Ecclesiastes, it tells us, you know, about Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't let the anger go down. You know, and so when we understand that and we learn that, and sometimes a quiet mouth is the best answer. You know, oftentimes people say, "What you thinking?" I'm like, "Nothing." You ain't thinking about nothing, huh? Because I don't have anything to say to you. You know.
Yes, sir.
I'm not. Amen. You know, a fool is only a fool when he opens his mouth.
Amen.
Go ahead.
And it's better to be thought of as a fool than for you to open your mouth and then remove all doubt. Yes, sir. Hold your thought right there, Pastor. We're going to talk about this rage. We're going to talk about our human emotions, because a lot of people are blaming the church for hurting them when they were already hurt when they got to the church, and just real sensitive. It didn't take much, but we want to be the ones that address hurt and pain, because we've all been there. We have just found out that Jesus is the reason that we have been made whole. And here's Harris Project, because once we realize that God has made us whole, we can't help it. We're going to lift his name.
Amen.
Oh, come on, lift your hands and worship. He's in the room, he's in the room. Come on, he's here, he's here. moment. Get what you need tonight. Hallelujah. I was created to worship your name. Heavenly Father, we lift up your name. Awesome Creator, ruler of men, Lion of Judah, the great I am.
I was created to worship your name, heavenly Father, lift up your name.
morning, if you believe that he is God, just worship. You are God.
You are listening to Fire, the gospel explosion where the praises are going up and the worries are going away. Playing for you the best and the newest gospel music on the planet and the most inspiring encouragement under God's heaven. Keep tuning in and bless your family, your friends, and your coworkers by telling them about Fire.
Yes, Lord Jesus, fire the gospel experience. We are just here talking about some spiritual understandings with my dear friend, pastor, preacher, teacher, Mark Stevens of Pine Bluff, Arkansas, pastor of Union Chapel Baptist Church. And we're just happy to have this discussion, Pastor. You know, our inspirational message will be from 2 Kings, the 5th chapter, 15 through 13 verse, where it talks about the Syrian army commander, Naaman, who was a great warrior, soldier, and this was a man of leprosy. And when he was given instructions by the man of God, he just flew into a furious rage because, you know what I'm saying, he's used to doing things his own way, and he's used to doing how he sees fit. And that's not so different from us, because even those of us that believe in God, we struggle sometimes with doing things God's way, and then we might find ourselves falling into these fits of rage. What would you suggest that we do, Pastor, to overcome ourselves, to get out of these fits of rage, which is really just states of disobedience, fighting against God? Because we've all had those times. What do you suggest that we do, Pastor, when we find ourselves outside of who we know Jesus wants us to be?
I think what we have to realize is even we have to get our best teachings and our learning from God. Because you take in consideration, here we have Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. His dad, his father, says when John the Baptist baptized him in Jordan in Matthew chapter 3, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, blessed. This is my son, my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased."
Well,
we go
pleased
to chapter 4, and it says we find him in the wilderness for some 40 days. And oftentimes people don't realize that God has to test us before God can elevate us.
Okay.
We've got to go through some things. And if you're not spiritually equipped, raised since then, when you were talking about Naaman,
yes,
prophet
sir,
tells him to go to the river. He tells him to go dip 7 times. But first of all, when he went to see the prophet, he thought the prophet was going to run after him. He was a man of valor. He was all these things. Whatever he said, it happened. But yet he had favor. But yet his favor wasn't with the prophet. The prophet was going to heal him. And so disobedience said in. Why do I got to go dip in the dirty water? Why do I got to go dip in the Jordan? Why? Well, see, sometimes that brings rage because we want to ask the question, why? But rage also comes with you, with those that are around you. People can bring stuff out of you if you don't have enough God in you. That's why I tell people you have a spiritual man and a carnal man. Your spiritual man, the only way the spiritual man gets above the carnal man is you got to be prayed up. Because when rage sets in, anger sets in, hostility sets in. But see, if you don't have the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, and peace, and long-suffering, and long-suffering is nothing but anger. But yet God gives it to you in a different way that he gives it to you when people make you mad, Then guess what? Long suffering has set in. Okay?
Yes.
And we have to and
yes,
we have
sir.
To understand that, because he tells us, he says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. See, the devil knows what makes you mad.
Yes, he does.
Okay. Yeah, anger can be brought out. But see, what I was going to share with the people for just a couple minutes, how anger comes. But if you do what God has told you to do, then anger will never come in. And that's the reason why he penned when he said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, and sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight of the Lord. And he says, his law does he meditate day and night. Now watch this. Let me help somebody real quick. The first word says was the word blessed. Okay? The word blessed literally means in the Greek, it means highly favored or fortunate. So in other words, you take highly favored and fortunate, can I tell you what it equals to? It equals to divine grace. I'm blessed.
Yes, come on.
The reason why I'm blessed is because of my connection to God. I'm blessed because of what's to come. And what I'm saying is, what's to come? What's to come, Reverend? Well, when you're connected to God, joy and jubilation will come, peace and pleasure will come, confidence and contentment, love and liberty, hope and happiness. All this will come when you're blessed because what? I'm saved in God. And when you realize when God saves you, if you really know God saved you, he's rescued you from the pits of hell, from the ditch of sin. And the good news, I tell them every day at church, I tell folks, I'm glad. They say, how you feel there? I say, man, I am happy because my name has been written down in glory. And I'm covered by his blood. And see, people don't think about the blood the way a lot of people. I'll just say it the way I feel it. They don't think about the blood like I do. Because, see, A positive can't mix with O positive. A negative, can't mix with B negative. But when you mix the blood of Jesus. And then that's that song I said, but what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That that reaches from the highest mountain, that flows from the lowest valley. When you think about all that, that blood never loses its power. So God gives us a promise when he says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And so what are you saying? Well, there's only two ways that you can live, brother. You can only live the way of the world or the way of the word. You'll either walk with the wicked, you'll stand with the sinner, you'll sit with the scorner. But see, somebody needs to hear me this evening. You may not walk with the wicked, you may not stand with the sinners, but the reason you're not blessed with benefits is because you sit with the scornful. Amen? Mm. What is that, Reverend? Well,
amen.
Your attitude, your behavior, your expression. And we all know them kind, those kind of folk that always disagree with everything, looking down on people, mocking individuals. But the Bible says, a fool may think foolish thoughts, but a scorner is unteachable because he refuses to listen. God gives us the promises of God that if you will, if you won't walk with them, if you won't sit with them. But then watch this. He gives us a principle. I'm almost through with this. I just want to put this in somebody's spirit. The principle is, he said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates day and night. Now watch this. The word delight comes before meditate. Delight comes from your heart, normally towards someone or something. Amen? And so in this case, it's the word of God. You got to have, if you're going to delight in something, you got to love something. So God says, how am I going to be blessed with benefits? How am I going to be blessed with God? Well, I gave you the promises of who not to walk with, and who not to sit with, and who not to stand with. But he said, then I want you to delight in my word, because that word delight, it comes before meditate. But watch this. He gives us the promise. He gives us the principle is to delight in God, in his word, love the word of God. But then he gives us a practice. He said, therefore, meditate day and night.
Day and night.
Well, I can tell you our lives are so distracted with experts on. We all can multitask. We can surf the internet, skim the web. We can talk, we can text, we can tweet at the same time. But how do I meditate on the Lord? That's what somebody wants to know right now. Well, baby, let me help somebody tonight.
Sir.
You got to, I read and I reread. I have pen in my hand, I write and I read. The text says day and night. In the country, grandma would tell you that I woke up this morning with my mind on Jesus, walking and talking with my mind on Jesus. See, David said meditate day and night. So So he gives us the promises, he gives us the principles, then he gives us the practice. But the proclamation is, he said, he shall be. See, and when you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. See, when you planted by the rivers of water, you bring forth fruit in your season. Amen. His leaves shall never wither, and whatsoever he doeth, he says, shall prosper. I'm planted like a tree. Well, if I read the Word of God, and I reread the Word of God, and I meditate, and I delight, and I meditate on the day to night, watch this. He said, I'm like a tree. Right, Ron? I'm like a tree. So watch what he said. I'm like a tree. I'm deep-rooted, and my roots never run out. Lord Jesus, help me, Holy Ghost. When your roots don't run out, he tells you, he said, he was, he is, and I am to come. I'm the beginning and the end. He said, my rivers of water, he said, I got a water supply that never runs empty. And he said, and the thing is, he said, in me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Not only am I planted, but then what did he say? He said, about my fruits, I produce it. My fruit in his season. But see, I just want people to know that I'm planted and I'm producing. And when you're planting and producing, you can't do nothing but prosper, brother. You're blessed from God.
Amen.
And if you stay in the Word of God, if you stay in the Word of God, when anger like Naaman was showed favor from a girl that had been caught in slavery that became in the house of Naaman's wife.
That's right.
She's seen the leprosy of Naaman when he took his clothes off. He didn't have it bad, but he still had enough. But yet, he was a big man. He was a big man, but he had a big problem. But yet, the bottom line to his problem was his disobedience, because he thought, because I'm a captain of the host.
Yes, sir.
I'm the man. And see, that's what's wrong with a lot of them today. Everybody wants to be doing it, and then they get mad when they didn't put me on program. They got mad.
Yeah,
I ain't got to be on program, because at the end of the day, if the Lord's happy with me, I'm happy with me. And anger, I refuse to let anger get in my spirit, because all that gives is the devil the place to come in and try to just distort your mind and cause you. But that's why he said, my mind stayed on Jesus. He said, I meditated day and night. And the bottom line is, you got to stay in that word. If you want to prosper.
Amen. Now, preach it.
You got
to. Uh-huh.
Huh?
If you want to prosper, go ahead.
Yeah, if you want to prosper, and watch this. I believe in tithes and offerings. Let me break something down to somebody for about 30 seconds.
Okay.
People say, I pay my tithes. Here's another problem, Ron. I pay my tithes. I said, what about offering? Oh, I don't do that. I said, but he said, bring your tithes to the storehouse. Your offering. I said, let me tell you what tithes does. I said, he said, I'll open up the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing that you cannot contain. I said, he said, bring in your tithes and your offerings. Well, tithes keeps the window unlocked. Offering raises the window.
Yes.
I tell people all the time,
you pay
10%, whatever, that's your tithes. That's giving back to God, because believe me, he doing me a good favor. People say, well, you paying tithes? Man, I ain't even worried about my tithes. 10%, I said, If y'all could, you need to just look at my nanny.
There you go.
See,
Amen.
Look at my nanny. Don't worry about the tenth that I pay. I'm happy to give him the tenth, and then I give him some more over there for offering. I'm happy.
That's right.
I'm overly happy, because he blesses us, and if we want to be blessed, and we want to be men and women of God, and know that God that he is going to take care of us. He said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He's a burden bearer. He's a heart fixer and a mind regulator. He's all them things that old folk. And see, you were talking about all the degrees of academia and all that. Them old preachers, man, they didn't have all that, but one thing they had it all. Them old brothers could get up in that pulpit and get to talking about Jesus, and the words may not be the clearest, but let me tell you. If he had the anointing of God on him, more people were coming to Christ. They were being saved under the direction, because they were leaning and depending on Jesus. They were singing them old hymns. I love the Lord and he heard my cry. See, they believe that. And we got to get back to that. We got to get back to leaning and depending on God and meditating on his word day and night, not just on Sunday. See, a lot of folks, they do 38 specials. You can't do a 30-day special with God. Yeah, you can. He going to bail you out. And I've been there. I've been there, got so busy, and it's Saturday night, and I'm like, Lord, here I am now. Mm-hmm. But he make a way and bring me through, and people are like, ooh, boy, you done it. And I'm like, I ain't done nothing. The Lord done
Amen.
This thing.
Well, nobody but
you know,
the Lord.
Yeah, and obedience is the key to the word of God and walking with God. It's being obedient.
Amen.
You know,
Amen.
And when Naaman became obedient, go ahead.
I just want to go back to something that you said when you talked about roots running deep. What a lot of people don't realize is that when you look at a tree, you have to understand that the tree is only extension of the roots. The roots are as twice as deep as the tree is standing that we see. That's how the tree is able to stand. That's how the tree is able to withstand the storms and the seasons. We're going to have these storms in our seasons of life, Pastor Mark. And like you said, if our roots don't run down deep, talking about our faith in God, our commitment, our belief that God is able to keep me, not me able to keep myself, that's where we find success. That's where we start to grow. Pastor, I appreciate all of the wisdom that you said. Man, you have shared so much. You probably could put it all in a book right now. But our time is limited, and I know that I'm going to have to
all right.
you back because you're so full. You're so full. I know that you have much more that you want to share on the Inspired Gospel Experience platform, and we certainly look forward to having you come back. What I would like for you to do, sir, if you have a final word of encouragement or seed that you would like to plant in our spirit, I would love for you to share that. And then I want you to share your personal contact information in case there is a revival, a conference, or a minister or a church out there that wants you to come and be a part of their event, as well as all of your social media contacts. So my listeners can continue to follow you on Facebook or Twitter or whatever social media package that you have. Share with us some final thoughts, sir.
Amen. Amen. Again, I've had a great time with you today. Real quick, Pastor Mark Stevens, you can follow me on Facebook. You can follow me at Mark Stevens, S-T-E-P-H-E-N-S. My contact number for my cell phone is 870-550-3505. That'd be, again, 870-550-3505 if anybody want to contact me for a word or if you need me to pray. You know, I mean, if it's revival, great. But I'm like this. I'm a servant of God. If you just want me to lift you up and pray for you, you
yes,
got
sir.
My phone number. You can call me. But when real quick, when you just look at John 10, we have to understand that in the book of John, in chapter 10, when he tells us, that the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I've come that you may have life, that they may have it more abundantly. And if we're going to have an abundant life, Radio Land, if we're going to have that abundant life, you have to understand that Jesus came for a reason. He came to give us life. He laid down his life. No man took his life. He laid it down, and he picked it back up. And when you understand that he comes to us, he calls us, and he cares for us. And the thing is, when he even says he's the door, he said, I'm your security, I'm your salvation, I'm here for your service, I'm your supply, and I'm the superior to all your living. And if you just lean on God, God will always bring you through. Amen. God bless you, man. In Georgia, if you need me, call me, radio people. Just always remember, Jesus is not just a season, but he's every day of your life. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. That's wonderful, Pastor Mark Stevens. We just appreciate you and the Lord, all the
yes,
work
sir.
That you're doing, the transparency that you bring to the people of God, helping us understand it's not about who you know, what you know, your skin color, your economic status, your educational background. All those things have their proper place. But if we don't seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, Paul said it best. He said all those things that we acquire that so many people pursue to try to build a big name is nothing but dung considered in comparison to I'll walk with the Lord Jesus. So my prayer for you, my dear brother,
Amen.
My pastor, my friend, is that God will lead you, guide you, protect you, keep you, cover you, and lead you unto a fruitful field, so much so that if you try to take those blessings from God and press them down and shake them together, it's still going to be running over in your bosom. So thank you so much. We look forward to having you come back whenever you can, Pastor Mark Stevens. Thank you so much for joining us, sir.
All right, Brother Ron, and you keep up the good work, and remember, it's like fire shut up in our bones.
Fire! Fire! Amen. Fire! Amen! Amen! Goes right there. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And that is just one of the many pastors that God has put into my life. And I would love to have you come, pastor, preacher, minister, reverend, so that you can take all of what God has given you, molded you, created you to be this awesome man of God, this awesome woman of God, preaching, teaching machine that you are, and bless us right here on this fire gospel experience. You can give me a call, 870-413-0220. Again, give me a call, pastor, preacher, teacher, 870-413-0220. And I'll put you on here just like I did my dear friend, Pastor Mark Stevens, so that you can share your ministry work, so that you can share your Bible and scriptural knowledge and help us become better equipped and acquainted with the Word of God. If you'll do that, I believe God will be so happy with your life, with your ministry. Amen. Or why don't you get in touch with me? Send me an email, ronaldjefferson1@aol.com. I'll get that message, and we'll put you on this fire gospel experience, and we'll cut you loose and let you do your thing for Jesus. Amen? Amen goes right there. We're about to continue to get our gospel praise on with this fire gospel experience. Celebrate in our God with Ruby and the girls, because listen, sometimes we get upset, sometimes we get beside ourselves, but your faith should help you hold on. Come on, Miss Ruby and the girl. Tell us how to hold on. Amen. Yes, Lord.
The victory will Well, hello. I am Prophetess Mia Gadsden Mason, and you are listening to Fire, the gospel experience where the fire is a moving, uplifting, unrestrained experience of biblical inspiration and gospel music. I pray that my ministry, Raw Ministries at 2659 Pike Avenue, North Little Rock, Arkansas, will uplift your spirit and give you new strength. Keep it tuned in and bless your family and friends and coworkers by telling them about Fire on this station. It's all about kingdom building.
Got to the point where I was tired. Tired of being what everybody else wanted me to be. But Lord, here I am at this moment. And right now I surrender to you.
our God is such a tremendously considerate and kind God that he takes us as we are. So beautifully sang by one of God, Myoshi Trier, as I am. But he loves us too much to leave us as we are. Thank you, woman of God, for that beautiful song, As I Am. Woman of God, Myoshi Trier. And before that, you heard from the Millennial Gospel Group, Generation X. Generation J. Going up yonder. I put that X in there because it was so excellently sang by them. You are tuned into Fire, the gospel experience, where we are embracing the word of God from 2 Kings, the 5th chapter, verses 15 through 19, which is actually a continuation from a summary word that I shared on March the 5th, entitled, this episode was entitled, If Only. So we're continuing that thought because God put it in my spirit, and it says in the word of God, 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 9 through 15, so Naaman went with his horses and chariot and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed. But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed? So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. So please accept a gift from your servant. Yes, yes, I'm continuing this Bible story that I did start in my episode entitled, If Only. You can go back and pull that up. It's on YouTube. It's on my Facebook page, Ronnie Jefferson, from March the 5th, 2022, where a young Jewish slave girl who served the wife of Commander Naaman of the Syrian army told about them, the prophet Elijah, who God could use to cure his leprosy. Again, 2 Kings 5 and 9. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elijah's house. Elijah sent a messenger to say to him, go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be made clean, and you will be whole. Amen. Isn't that a wonderful thing to be told how to be made whole, how to be cleansed? But after the long journey and the necessary process to travel through foreign lands without hostile actions being taken against them, they had arrived at the prophet Elijah's home. 2 Kings 5 and 11, but Naaman went away angry and said, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Sounds like he wanted to show, like he wanted the man of God to do something very entertaining. Yes. So we thought that church hurt was about a modern day dilemma. No, the great commander Naaman was irate. beside himself. He was in a furious rage. How many times have people come to God, come to church with their preconceived notions and expectations about what they feel that God and the church should be doing to their own personal satisfaction? Unfortunately, for many outside and in, maybe some on inside of the church, seems to have become encumbered with the ideal of performism and with showtime entertainment vein. We have become a place of spectacle as opposed to sovereign worship and praise. Not all places, but sometimes that element is trying to creep into the church. And then we're subject to not acknowledge the Almighty One who rules and reigns according to his own precepts and particulars. God does what God chooses as he sees fit or not. And this is a tough pill for many of us to swallow. Yes, even at times for yours truly. I have to admit it. It has taken many times and occasions where I've had to sit myself down and remember to let God be God. 2 Kings 5:12 says, are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went off in a rage. It takes spiritual seasoning, growth, and maturity to ascertain the acceptance of God over our own preconceived notions. We believe that somehow in our limited and finite state that we can see the most productive means to our end. And even when we make vain attempts that fail, we would fall into a furious rage, which only gives portrayal to the truth of our own limitations. This is the result, beloved, of our human emotions being given the precedent over our spiritual mindset. 2 Kings 5:13 says, Naaman's servant went to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more than when he tells you, wash and be clean? Now, this gives more expansion to the scripture, Genesis 2:8, where it says, the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. Yes, yes, I know. This scripture verse is talking about a spouse as a helper and mate. But could this not also be applied to someone that provides support, encouragement, and wisdom with our inner circle? Someone that's not attached to a mating relationship for marriage, but as a mentor, counselor, and trusted friend. 2 Kings 5:14 says, so he went down and dipped himself into Jordan 7 times, as the man of God told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. These are the people that God places in our lives that can bring cool and calm collection to our smoldering emotions. They can bring a simplicity to our confined and complicated insides gone wild, a serenity can settle and remove that furious rage of our unstable state. See, we need certain people that know us well enough to be able to come to us with the sincere, soothing solutions that we need, that we can drop our guard and trust them and let them minister to us, just like so many times and ways that we have always ministered unto them as well. Yes, there is a serenity that can settle in and remove that furious rage of our unstable state. Aren't you glad about that? I have those times when I've had to recall and go back in my mind and say, Lord, that didn't go well. Thank God for that person that you put in my life that was able to speak to my mind, speak to my spirit, and speak to my soul. So what seems like the ridiculous to us can generally just be simply a test of faith, an opportunity for us to make an account of agreement where we submit and surrender to God all over again. God wants to see if our faith will lead us to see how faith is greater than our sight. 2 Kings 5:15 says, then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. So please accept a gift from your servant. And when God provides the resolutions and solutions that we seek and need, in spite of our previous undone and withdrawn state, we become transformed as we witness the awesomeness of God and the frivolity of our single-mindedness and objectionable emotions. Naaman came to realize that we are better off to simply obey and ask questions later, which in light of God's presence and revelation, probably are questions that we will never, ever have to ask. Amen. So don't let your furious rage keep you from a faithful and from a fearless faith. Amen. Goes right there. You're tuned in to Fire the Gospel Experience, where we're giving you some real good, sanctified, spiritual, refreshing uplift to continue to keep moving forward and grow by. Amen. Here's Pastor R.D.J. Stuckey and the Voices of Restoration, because just like Naaman was healed, you too can be healed, but it's according to your faith, because God is able. Ain't no question about that.
Hello, my name is Dr. Addie J. McCaffrey, a.k.a. Dr. Addie, and you are listening to Fire, the gospel experience, where the fire is a moving, uplifting, and unrestrained encounter of biblical inspiration and gospel music. I am an inspirational speaker, author, counselor, educator, and the TV host of Wisdom Breaks with Dr. Addie. You may connect with me via Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube, just by looking up Wisdom Breaks with Dr. Addie. And don't forget to tell your family and friends to tune into Fire, the gospel experience, where it's all about kingdom building.
God, even couldn't get a prayer through. The only prayer that I could get through was, Lord, save me, forgive me, have mercy on my soul. And he did just that. Sounds of woman of God, Marsha Lee, by his blood. Had to get my gospel groove on. Y'all already know how I do. Right there, right there. This is the time of inspiration. All of you anointed people that have a word from God that are called to encourage, enlighten, inspire, and even sometimes bring a word of correction and admonition to the body of Christ, to the people of God. This is the Word Up segment of Fire, the gospel experience. And I have a recorded message woman of God, author Sherina Henderson, that's going to talk about love and walk love like you talk love. Ain't nothing wrong with that right there, right there.
Greetings to you, my brothers and sisters. My name is Sherina Henderson, and I just want to leave you with a few words to encourage and challenge you in this season to walk love like you talk love. In these evil, dark, and seemingly despairing times we're living in, for us as Christians, as the church, we are still called to live out our days in a way that brings glory to God. We are to continue to exhibit God's love in a way that the world recognizes us as His. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 14, in the Amplified translation, it tells us to let everything you do be done in love, motivated and inspired by God's love for us. Society has its own definition of what it means to love and what true love is. However, that definition and God's definition are very different. As believers, we're commanded to demonstrate God's love to each other and to the world. Here in verse 14, it tells us that everything we do should be inspired by God's love. One of the definitions for the word inspired means to breathe or blow life into. So we, the church, the body of Christ, should be breathing or blowing life into a dying world by demonstrating God's love. It's time to move from merely talking love to walk it like we talk it. Now, there are two points we want to briefly consider to aid us as we walk. The first is that we must understand love. Love originated with God. He is love. His very nature is love. Love has always been in existence. Before sin even entered the world, love was already there to cover us. God's love is all around us. We simply must receive it. His love has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. But the question is, what are we doing with it? By our walk, are we demonstrating that we have received His love or that we're rejecting His love? Are we letting our failures, fears, weaknesses, and the naysayers define our walk? Or are we walking in the truth that we are free to love and be loved in spite of those things? When we receive God's love, we'll learn to reflect God's love to others. We'll walk confidently in God's love. We won't follow the ways of the world and harbor bitterness, hate, resentment, criticism, prejudice, pride, or arrogance. The world is constantly saying, dismiss your haters, cut off the users, unfriend, unfollow, and block bad vibes. In a society where people are bragging about how strong their cutoff game is, we should be the game changer and reflect how to love others instead. By reflecting the love of God, we move from doing church to being the church. Our lives and everything we do is pointless if it's not girded and bathed in the love of God. Now, the second point for our consideration is that love is not something you say, it's something you see. When we walk the way of love, we are walking the most excellent way. When we look at people around us and see their needs, whether spiritual or physical, we should be driven by the love of God to step out and meet those needs. We must be compelled by love, be moved by love, and be directed by love. In order for us to see what love really looks like, we must look at the picture. And the picture is found in the Gospels. Jesus is the picture of love. In everything Jesus said and didn't say, in everything He did and didn't do, it was because of love. Jesus didn't die for us out of obligation. He died for us out of love. Obligation says, I got to do it. But love says, I get to do it. His intentional love showed that everyone mattered to Him. In Jesus' picture of love, we see the obvious kindness, patience, humility, forgiveness, etc. But also pictured in that love, we see correction, discipline, accountability, obedience, standards, and boundaries, all of which should be seen when we walk in love. When we remember the picture of love and walk it, it helps others to see love in us. regardless of what season we're in, it's healthy to remember his love. In our down season, his love lifts us. In our winning season, his love humbles us. In our dark season, his love illuminates us. And in our off season, his love repositions us. In closing, let us daily seek to walk in God's love. Let us genuinely receive his love, remember his love, and reflect his love. Walk love like you talk love. If there was ever a time that evidence of God's love is pertinent, it is now. As the moral compass of society is becoming more and more derailed, true, genuine love is needed to guide us back on track. Don't get distracted by all that is going on in the world. Instead, get determined to be the light in the darkness. Don't be fearful, but be faithful. Let your love be stronger than your fear and continue to stand on the promises and provisions of God. Live for him by loving like him, and always remember that nothing, absolutely nothing, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God. My brothers and my sisters, be encouraged and be blessed.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, woman of God, Sharina Henderson. I feel so much more encouraged. I feel so much more blessed, don't you? Amen. Listen, if you want to be part of that word of inspiration, I need for you to send me a message on Facebook, Ron E. Jefferson, or send me an email to ronaldjefferson1@aol.com. Say, Brother Ron, I want to be a part of that word of inspiration. I have a calling on my life from the Lord to speak words of encouragement and inspiration to God's people. Or get in touch with me. Give me a call. 870-413-0220 is my personal number to call. We are still cutting loose these anointed gospel choirs on this choir chorale celebration. Here's Patrick Foreman with his chorale and choir singing about Psalm 117. Let's hear it. Because it's got to be something beautiful. Amen. Amen.
Come on, everybody. Let's lift that praise. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Sing it. All ye. Come on, exalt the Lord. All ye people. Come on, lift it up and sing it again. Say, exalt the Lord. All ye people. Say, great is his love to all his sons. Come on, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Great, yeah, yeah. Come on, endures forever. Praise the Lord. Come on, all ye. Somebody exalt the Lord, all ye people. Great is the
wherever you are, lift those hands and those voices and sing. Lift your voice to the Lord. Hallelujah. Worthy of all glory. Worthy of all praise. Worship him today. Come on, right there wherever you are, lift those hands and those voices and sing. Lift your voice to the Lord and sing hallelujah. Worship him today. Come on, from your heart, from your spirit, lift it up and say, all the glory belongs to you, Lord, and we give it to you in this praise. Come on, sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on, lift it up. Say hallelujah.
When I think of
for everything
all the
done,
that you have
we
done,
we give you praise.
How
we're not going to let rocks cry out for us down,
me,
but we're going to raise our praise to you.
Sing,
we're going to lift our worship to you. For you alone are worthy of all glory, of all honor, and all praise. We give you adoration. We magnify your name, oh God. We lift up the highest praise. Come on, hallelujah.
Come and lift the Lord. Help me give a praise. Thank you, Lord.
Right there, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Lift your hands and lift your voices and say, hallelujah.
Sincere praise. Sounds of Patrick Foreman. Thank you, woman of God, Annette Clark, for continuing to support this fire gospel experience with all of these anointed gospel artists. I just appreciate you promoters and managers that do so much behind the scenes hard work, and I have to give you your flowers so that you can smell them now, give you this acknowledgement right now. Amen. Keep doing what you're doing, praying for your health, praying for your strength. Friend, that you just keep on keeping on. I want to thank my special guest. Before I leave you with one final word, man of God, pastor, teacher, preacher, my friend and brother in the Lord, Pastor Mark Stevens, for coming and sharing such profound truth, so much biblical intelligence, so much transparent testimony about how he was able to persevere in spite of and because of those situations, he was able to grow and be blessed. Amen. Thank you, man of God. Keep doing what you're doing. Well, I'll leave you with one final word. It's a whole nother story when we go from a notion to the motion. Amen. So let's get busy and let's put some action behind all that good conversation and talk that we be doing. So until next time, y'all be blessed in the Lord Jesus Christ. I do pray that God will strengthen you, bless you, keep you, prop you up, support you, build you up to be that awesome believer in Jesus Christ so that his light will shine like the noonday sun in everything that you do. Amen. Goes right there. Until next time, y'all be blessed in the Lord Jesus. Up, down, and from side to side, every which way you turn, I pray that what you do and who you know will be extremely blessed in the Lord. Amen.
Share the vision of the church. Share the vision of the church. Share the vision of the church.